Hello, good morning. How are you guys? All right, I'm Melvin, as introduced by Pastor Sean. Thanks for the kind words. I serve in Every Nation Rimbayu with under the leadership of Pastor Stephen. And it's really a privilege to be here to share the word with you this morning. And I thank Pastor Sean and the leadership team to, you know, really trust me in sharing the pulpit, right? So I want to also acknowledge Pastor Sean. How many of you know that we have a great senior pastor here, right? Yeah? Yeah, I really want to honor Pastor Sean and also Pastor Eugene. They really help all the church plant preachers, right? Every church plant, there's a group of preachers, and they really help us to really sharpen our skills, really help us to step up and also step out in dividing the word, all right? So I wanted you to give them a big round of applause. Yeah, right. Okay, just quickly, this is my family. That's Felicia. If you think that's my daughter, that's not my daughter, that's my wife. Felicia, she's amazing. I have Elijah and Elyon. The last time we came here, there's only four of us, but we have just had our latest addition. Eileen, she's 9 months old, and we are really grateful to God for them, all right? So that's my family. So we are in this series, we're in this third week of Work Redeem. Everyone say Work Redeem. So we are on this third week, and the last 2 weeks, Pastor Paul Singh started off with the whole be fruitful. And then I think it was Joel that came, and then we were talking about how do we multiply. And today, we're going to look at how do we fill the workplace with influence, the right kind of influence. So before we begin, maybe let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a father that loves us and you're a father that calls us by name. So, Father, we thank you. We say we love you. Father, even right now, even as we dive into your word, Father, I pray that you prepare our hearts, our Holy Spirit, that you speak to us, that may our eyes be fixed on you, and may we hear the calling that you have for us at the marketplace. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Let me begin by asking this question. All right. Okay. Does my 9-to-5 matter to God? Does your workplace, does your work matter to God? How many of you think that your work matters to God? Show of hands. Now, I'm not talking about saving souls. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about loving your neighbor. I'm talking about your work, either as a doctor, either as a lawyer, janitor, teacher. How many of you think that your work matters to God? You really believe it? Wave at me. All right. Okay. Half of the church believes that their work is matters to God. So last Wednesday, I was fetching my niece back. My niece used to intern in Every Nation, right? So now she's interning in one of the 5-star hotels in KLCC near my workplace. So I fetch her back to my place. During the trip, I was having a conversation to her and with her, and I was asking her, how's your job and all that? And then I asked her this, right? How is your internship experience compared to your internship experience at church? And because I was preparing for this sermon, I went to ask her, so between the two work in the hotel and work at church, which one is holier, right? How many of you think that the church work is holier? Wave at me, oh, you shy, it's like a trick question, this is a trick question, right? Yeah, it is a trick question, right? So I want to say that a lot of us, we think that there is a sacred and circular divide. So work at church, when we serve God at church, that is sacred. When we want to win souls, that is sacred. But when we go to work, board meeting, deadline, that is circular, right? God is not interested. But I want to submit to us that work matters to God, amen? And our work, what we do, matters to God. Now, I want to show you three reasons why our work matters to God. So, work is modeled by God. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, God worked at the very beginning. Even right now, it says that, you know, God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is the one that's working in us right now. So, God is at work since the beginning up to today. So God models work for us. So God modeled that he, from out of the chaos, he bring orderliness. Out of the disorder, God brought order. So work matters to God, and God modeled it. The second reason, God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. God mandated work for us, right? So we are mandated to work, and work came before the fall. A lot of us thought work because Adam and Eve sinned, that's why we have to work. If not, don't need to work, right? Everything is provided for, but it's not true. God provided for Adam and Eve, but at the same time, he asked them to tend to the garden, at the same time to name the animals, right? And then the famous verse, 2 Thessalonians verse chapter 3, verse 10, it says, if you are lazy, don't eat. Right? So if you can tell your kids, Asian parents, you're lazy, don't eat. Right? So that was meant to be a joke, okay? So we know that the Lord mandated work. So like God, we are mandated to bring order out of disorder at your workplace. Imagine the janitor don't clean up your workplace. Imagine the MBPJ do not take the rubbish for 1 month. What's going to happen at your residence? It's going to be filled with rats, and there will be people falling sick. So people will die if people don't carry out their work properly. Third reason, how many of you know that we spend most of our working waking hours, two-thirds of our waking hours at the workplace? Right? That's even more than you spending time with your family. True? Right? So at that workplace, it's a ministry. Why? Because if you look at Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, you don't have to turn, I'll read to us. It says that Moses was telling the Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may worship me. Now, this is the Lord telling the Pharaoh through Moses. Say, let my people go that they may worship me. The word worship is avodah. And in chapter 34, verse 21, it says, for 6 days you shall work. Same word, avodah. For 6 days you shall avodah, but on the seventh you shall rest. So the word worship and work is the same word. So our work is actually a worship unto the Lord. Amen? So imagine, right, today, I was just asking Pastor Sean, that actually how many people, we have a lot of people in every nation, Church Malaysia, how many people actually serve in the ministry here? He says it's about 50%, and 50% is really a high number, right? Give yourself a big hand, right? So 50% is a big number. I know a lot of churches is about maybe 20, 30%. So 20%, 30%, they basically run and serve God and serve the people, right? But we have 50%. But if all of us, we have this view, we change our paradigm that work is a ministry, work is a worship unto the Lord, the church can mobilize 100% of us to serve. Amen? Now, what is worship? Worship is basically an act of service and a surrender unto the Lord. So can you work and worship at your workplace? Can? We can. We can. And let's look at, if work matters to God, then basically our influence at work is meant to point people to God, not to ourselves. Now, so what is influence? Influence is basically the power to have an effect on others. Right? So a lot of times parents, we say that, you know, oh, you don't mix with those people because they may have bad influence, right? Bad influence to you. So we're saying that don't mix with them because they may have the power to have an effect on you. Right? But do you know that as church, we have an effect at the workplace as well? Right? So Joseph Wong said this, influence is our inner ability to lift people up to our perspective. And of course, John Maxwell says, if you are a leader, your currency is influence. Right? He famously said, he who thinks he's leading, but no one is following, is only taking a walk. Right? So at the workplace, we need influence. Why? We need influence to get people to follow us into a certain direction. Now, what is this direction? In this today's influencer culture, you know, if you ask the young people today, what do you want to be when you grow up? A lot of them may say, I want to be a social media influencer, earn lots of money, right? But in this culture, what influencer culture says that influence is for you to promote self-image. It's for us to seek followers. It's about being famous and to focus on the reputation, But for kingdom influence, God's influence is basically to promote God's image, spread kingdom values, define influence as faithfulness, as our faithfulness unto the Lord. And basically, the whole focus is on our integrity. The world tells us to build a personal brand. And I'm from a multinational corporation. And sometimes the trainings that we go to tells us you need to build a personal brand. Your work is your personal brand. So the world tells us, build a personal brand so that when the bosses hear your name, they know that you carry a certain value. But God calls us to reflect His glory. Amen? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with us three ways to grow godly influence at work. How many of you want to grow your influence at work? Wave at me. Yeah? Yeah, I want to share with us three ways that we can grow our influence at work. And the passage that we're going to look at is a famous passage from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Right? The first way to grow our influence is through character. Everyone say character. Okay. So Matthew chapter 5, it says this, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus didn't say you might be, you could be, or you should be, but He says you are. Everyone say, "I am." I am the salt of the earth, right? But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, it's very curious. When I was reading, I was like, what did Jesus mean? Right? How can salt lose its saltiness? Have you ever wondered that if you buy salt, after a while, after a long, long time, does the salt become less salty? No, right? So actually, what did Jesus mean? What kind of salt was Jesus referring to? So another mirror passage is from Luke chapter 14, verse 34 to 35. It says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then it's very interesting that Jesus was not talking about the salt for our food. Right? He was talking about salt for the manure pile, salt for farming. So it's very interesting because in those days, the farmers would actually take salt, and the salt that they have is not like our sodium chloride, our table salt. It's not that. The salt that they have is a salt that they mine usually from the Dead Sea. And in the Dead Sea, it contains a lot of different types of minerals. All right? So, and they take that salt, like the famous Epsom salt. How many of you use Epsom salt before? Right? Epsom salt. They take that, and sometimes they add it to the soil. Why do they do that? Because in that area, the soil are very dry. So by adding salt, it's actually good for the crops because the salt would actually retain some water, right? And then the soil will then retain water. It's good for the crop. Now, what do they do to the manure pile? They actually take some salt and they add it to the manure pile, not human manure, but animal manure, and it actually acts as a desiccant. It absorbs the water so that the manure pile does not decay. Now, very curious, right? Why don't you want the manure pile to decay, like let it decompose, right? But they do not want it to decay, A, reason so that it does not release a bad smell, right? Because of the bacteria, decomposing the manure pile, there's a lot of sulfur and nitrate that is released to the air. That's why there's a lot of smell. The salt is basically to stop that rotting from happening. And B, because they actually take the manure pile and they actually use it as a fuel. Over there, there's not much wood, no charcoal. They use the dung, the dried dung, as a fuel. And you see that sometimes in India. They still do that in certain rural villages, right? So they do that to, they add the salt to stop the rot. So what does it mean for us? So as Christians, as Jesus' disciples, now Jesus was talking to the disciples, right? You are the salt. It means that you are distinct. You are not like the substance that you apply yourself to. You are distinct. And salt, as salt, we stop the rot and we promote life and we promote growth. So what kind of values do we carry at work? If I were to ask us, how do we show up at work? What values do we bring? So what does it, how are we in terms of integrity? Let's talk about integrity. The major one is like, oh, you know, kickbacks, bribes, right? But some of us, we say, well, we don't do bribes. My job doesn't allow me to take bribe even, right? So let me ask the next question. How do we do our claims when we go for travel? Do we claim more than we should? Right? So that also speaks about the whole area of integrity. How do we deal with injustice at work? How about bullying? Do we call out sexual harassment at work when we see one? Right? Are we the salt or are we hamsap? Play of words. Okay. Just to share with you, I've been working in the company for close to 19 years now. I know I look young. I started working at 12. No, I'm just joking, right? Cannot lie, all right. But work in the company long enough, and I've seen many leaders, big leaders, were asked to leave the company because of sexual misconduct at work. It's more prevalent than we think. And I've heard of people who cried at work because they were harassed, right? So what do we do when we see such things? Do we show up and bring godly values, or do we just turn a blind eye? In those days, this is what Dead Sea salt deposit looked like. So Jesus said, if you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? How can salt lose its saltiness? Basically, the salt deposit is basically mined at the shore of the Dead Sea. So water evaporate, then all the salt will form at the shore. So the miners or the salt collectors will just collect and they will put it in a bag. So what happens most of the time, the salt are contaminated with either clay, gypsum, or silt, right? So the reason why salt can lose its saltiness is because of moisture, because of contaminants. So all the soluble parts, a bit of science, huh? So salt, once you have a lot of moisture due to rain and all that, all the saltiness or the effectiveness of the salt gets diluted and washed away. What left are the minerals that cannot dilute, and those are not salt. So those are the contaminants that are remaining. And basically, we lose our saltiness when we have contaminants in our life, right? When we compromise at work, we lose our saltiness. Are you with me so far? So one way to grow our influence is really to show up with godly character, godly values. We bring godly conviction to work. And then the next one, I want to share this, right? A lot of times we say that, okay, I see corruption at work. It's in the system. So what can I do? I'm just a small pawn in the whole system, right? So I want to share with you, apply salt at your area of influence. That means you may not necessarily go and try to change the system because you just came in, you're an executive, you're young, you're new. You may not have the power or influence to change the whole system. Apply salt at where you are. Meaning if your boss asks you to do it, don't do it. Choose and put a stand to say no. But you don't have to go around and try to tell your boss, like, oh, you're a corrupt person, right? That's called no wisdom, right? So apply influence where you are. Now, is that biblical? Yes. So if you look at Daniel, right? If you look at the character of Daniel in the Bible, when King Darius, commanded, you know, you should stop worshiping God for 30 days and you should only worship the king. Daniel continued to worship God. He opened his window, faced Jerusalem, and prayed 3 times a day. Now, did he go to the king and say, no, no one can worship another person except God? No, he didn't do that. He just applied salt at where his area of influence is. He can influence himself to pray to God. So that's what he did. And of course, he was thrown to the lions then, but God was with him, right? So, and eventually, if you read the whole book of Daniel, Daniel survived 4 to 5 leadership regime. And that's amazing, right? Usually, when there's a change of king, they kill all the other advisors. But Daniel survived because of his character, one. Second one, I want to talk about, if you have character at work, you will be noticed by your boss. Whether they like you or not, that's another matter, but you will be noticed. Now, that brings me to the second point. Growing influence, character alone is not enough. You need competence, right? So why competence? Because competence and character go hand in hand. I want to say, first and foremost, your employer and my employer hire us for a good job. They didn't really hire us because we have impeccable character. Are you with me? They hire you because they trust that you can do a good job. So if you are a salesperson, they expect you to bring in the sales. If you are a corporate person, they expect you to do well in the corporate. So we are hired to be doing a good job at our work. Now, it says in Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. Now, the word works here, good works, the works here is ergon. Now, ergon, yes, Jesus was talking about be kind, love others and all that, right? But on top of that, ergon also means the word toil. And we got the word ergonomics from the word ergon, the science of work, ergon. So it's not just about being kind at work, but to do a good job. Now, competence, I want to say that competence earns us a platform for our convictions to be displayed. So there's no point showing that you have good character, but you are incompetent at your job. And there are a lot of Christians, unfortunately, that, of course, not from this church, right? Right? Not for anyone from this church, but I've seen Christians who go to work, they play Christian music, they put Bible verses, but their works are shoddy, right? And that's not what God calls us to be. So someone once said this, people may not read the Bible, but they'll read your work, especially your workplace. They will read your work. And does your work bring glory to God? Henry Ford famously said this, you can't build a reputation on what you are going to do, future. But I want to add, you can't build influence on what you're going to do. Influence, you get influence from the results you created, from your track record. I want to share this funny story, like that happened again this week, right? So I came back from work, tired, went to shower, my wife and the kids were downstairs. After shower, I came out from my room, I lie on the bed, and I was thinking about the sermon, right? I was meditating on the Word of God, and I was thinking about the sermon. And then suddenly my elder son came up, oh, come down, daddy, come down. I said, why? I was very tired, right? I said, why? I said, then my son said, oh, there's cockroach in the house. I'm like, okay, mommy needs you. Mommy is calling you. I'm like, okay, where is it now? He said, oh, it ran into the storeroom. I thought, okay, storeroom, chialat. You went into the storeroom, how to find? Cannot find it, right? So I'm like, okay, forget it. I said, okay, don't bother me, you go down first. Go down first, I'll come down shortly. And then a few minutes came up again. Daddy, come down now. Find the cockroach. Mommy sprayed, but don't know where it is. So I'm like, okay, I reluctantly came down, right? Came down. And then I went into the storeroom, open up on the light. By the time the floor was all full of stuff. I don't know what they do, but it was full of stuff. And then I looked, and I saw the cockroach. It was hiding at the corner. So I took out the bag. It was hiding there. And then I killed it. So apparently this cockroach is not the typical brown, the dark brown color cockroach. It's probably like the garden cockroach that probably came in from our garden. So, and I was just reflecting, right? Why did my son and my wife keep calling me to kill cockroach? And the reason is, I got a good track record of killing cockroaches. Right? My wife has, ever since we got married about 10 years ago, I won't say five, I was like 10 years ago, right? I've killed don't know how many cockroaches. My record probably 95% and above. That's my track record. So what I'm trying to say here is that competence, when you are competent in doing something, people will always go back to you. Likewise, if you do a good job, you do a great job at work, your boss will recognize that you are a person that does a good job. and they will always go back to you, right? So that's how you grow influence from competence. Now, I also want to talk about Daniel and Nehemiah and Joseph. So if you look at all these three guys, their work life, they don't only show up because they have a good character. With a good character, then they rise in rank. No, they were good at what they do. They were faithful in what they do. So how do we grow competence at work? It's so easy to talk about competence, right? And it's such a big word. So what do I mean by competence? Competence is, I'm talking about capability, knowledge, and skill. Can you grow your skill at work? Yes, you can. Go for training. Be intentional about your training. Don't skip training, right? Grow yourself. Be intentional. Read, and don't wait for the company to send you for training. Look up. Look for free training at YouTube. Plenty of training out there. LinkedIn, right? The second one I want to talk about is excellence. So you, with the skill you have, and you have an excellent spirit. Excellent is not meaning that you do a perfect job. It means that you do a job excellently and there's progress. There's improvement. Like, I do better than the previous time. So there's this, I want to do better, right? So it's not about being perfect, but it's about being excellent. So the first one is skills, excellent, and the third one is reliability. Once you have skill and experience and excellence, and you repeat that long enough, you are reliable. People know that you're reliable. That means if your boss say, hey, can you send this to me by tomorrow morning? You say, can, right? You say, it's tough, but I'll do it, right? And when you say you will do it, it means you will do it. That is reliability. It's hard when today, at the workplace, a lot of people over-promise, under-deliver. They said, yes, I can get it done. But then after that, there's delay because, you know, the other person didn't submit. There's a lot of excuses and reasons. But under-promise, over-deliver. And then you will grow in your competence and that will grant us influence, right? Are we good so far? Okay, lastly, I want to talk about connection. So you grow your character, we bring our character to work, godly values, and we are competent at what we do, definitely we will be noticed. I guarantee you, right? So if you are saying that, you know, I'm a young exec, I just started work, bring these two along, and I guarantee you, you will have your boss's attention. They will talk about you, good things about you, right? Now, the third thing about influence is connection. How can we grow our godly connection at work? So it says here in Matthew chapter 5, 14, 15, it says, you are the light of the world. Everyone say, I am the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, influence requires contact. There's no point being salt in a bag. There's no point being a light put under a basket. We are called to in the marketplace to be placed in a place there when salt is needed, when rot is happening, corruption is happening, and you're there to stop the corrupt. And you see growth, things that needs to grow, you help and you improve and you make it grow. And we are asked to go to the workplace when it's dark, we shine light. So we need to be applied and we need contact. Now, there's no point having character and competence and then we grow in influence and we forget the whole part about relationship. Because, you know, just now Eunice was singing, right? The song that how God loved them. We can only grow our connection, right? When we realize that actually God loves our colleagues. Are you with me? It's so easy when we go 9 to 5, we forget that actually our colleagues need God. We go there, we just want to deliver. And sometimes I catch myself guilty of that, right? And if we are good at our character, we are, you know, excellent and all that, and then we are competent, we get things done. Sometimes we leave a lot of dead bodies in the trail. What I mean by that? Because we get things done. We don't care about people's feeling. We want to deliver, right? And especially if the boss notice you, or then you suddenly like, oh, I'm a top performer. I need to keep this up. But if we do that, we forget that the most important thing is lives. And we cannot be a salt and light if we forget about the lives around us. So we have to remember that they need Jesus and Jesus loves them, right? So I just want to talk about how practical ways that potentially we can grow influence at work. A, maybe call your colleagues out for lunch. Be intentional. I realize that as I grow older, I'm getting more and more being an introvert. I mean, I was an extrovert, but I feel that these days, I just want to be by myself at work. You know, lunchtime, I just go down, I tap out, then either I read, I pray, or I just hide myself in one room, right? But sometimes I remind myself I need to be intentional in going out with my colleagues. Because in going out with my colleagues, I can ask them, hey, what's happening in your life? And then we take care to find out what are the challenges they face. Just to share with you, last Wednesday, there was a forum that my boss asked me to go. I forgotten to sign up, right? It's a half-day internal forum. I thought it was not very useful, so I said, okay, maybe I'll go, but I've forgotten to sign up. So my boss reminded me on that morning, hey, Melvin, did you sign up? I said, I've forgotten. Never mind, I'll go. So reluctantly, I went because my boss asked me to go, so I went. So I sat through the thing. Again, I felt it was not very useful, the things that was discussed. Maybe useful to other units, but not to my unit. So I thought, there are better things to do with my time. So as I sat through, I take note. Then during the break, I bump into a colleague that I work with in a project. I've not seen her for quite long, about 2-3 years, right? We were catching up, and then suddenly I could have just said hi, bye, and leave, but we stood by, talked longer, and then she said, oh, I'm leaving the company. And then I asked, why are you leaving the company? And then talk about it. And then I managed to talk about being salt and light. Managed to pray for her. And at the end of the conversation, she said, yeah, thanks, Mel, for praying. I mean, she goes to a Catholic church, but she said she was very blessed and very comforted that knowing that God takes care of her and God is with her. So I want to encourage us, take time to get to hear your colleagues' challenges that they face and even pray for them. I remember also one of my colleagues who is from another faith, from the majority faith, and she was just sharing about her kid may be diagnosed with cancer. We texted, and then I texted a prayer, and I said, in Jesus' name, amen, right? I sent to her, and she said, thank you, Mel, for praying. And then, of course, it was a misdiagnosed, no cancer, and all of us were rejoicing with her. But at the end of the day, we are called at a workplace, we grow our influence, and we are to grow our antenna to just hear out what's happening with our colleagues. Yesterday, Pastor Sean was preaching at Rimbayu, and he shared this story, and I asked him for permission to share this. And he said this, right? So he interviewed a guy. The guy passed the interview. They were supposed to hire him, and then found out medically he has scoliosis, right? If you don't know what scoliosis is, I also don't know. But apparently, it's a bent backbone of some sort, right? So they initially didn't want to hire him. But he felt led by the Lord. Again, this is not his KPI, right? Not KPI. He felt led by the Lord. He says, okay, let me ask more doctors and go for more tests to see whether we can hire you. And he sent the guy, talked to a few specialists, spent a lot of time talking to a few people, and in the end, managed to clear the whole medical issue and hired him. Now, to Pastor Eugene, it's not in his KPI. It doesn't matter in terms of competence, in terms of character, in terms of work, doesn't matter. But because of the connection that he wants to build, and he felt led by the Lord, he went for that. But to the guy, it probably meant the whole world. And will the guy remember Pastor Eugene? You bet. Right? So sometimes at work, we do not know what kind of influence that we have on our colleagues. But if we show up, we bring godly values, godly character to work. We are competent at our workplace. And then we intentionally build that connection. People will be impacted. I just want to end with two things. The first thing I want to talk about is this picture. City on a hill. This is the city of Tiberias at night. Very near to probably where Sermon on the Mount happened, right? So probably Jesus was referring to this town, city on a hill. In those days, during dark night, they don't have flashlight. So if you were traveling in the evening and it gets too late and there's no moon, no stars, you are lost. It's dark, you're lost. City on a hill, they act as a navigator. They navigate people. They see Tiberias. Okay, Tiberias is in front of me. I'm close to a city. And it leads people to the right direction. Now, when Jesus said, you are the city on the hill, you and I, our job is to help people to navigate their way, to point the way to God. That's our role, city on the hill. It's not that we shine nice and then people marvel like, wow, so nice. But it's really to help people who are lost and we point them to God. Now, let me end with this story of a man. You may have heard of this story. So, story was told of a man, real story, by the way. After graduating from university, a young man obeyed God's call to study at a Bible school in America, fully self-funded, despite his family's objections. When he returned home, he applied for a marketing sales executive role at a multinational tech company. He was the only applicant without job experience. There were many applicants, and he was the only one without job experience because he spent 2 years in Bible school. So during the interview, the sales director asked why a Bible school graduate should be hired for a sales job. The young man replied humbly, 3 reasons. I fear God. I will learn fast. I'm honest, and because I'm honest, I will never be involved in any bribe. Impressed by his convictions, the director gave him 6 months to hit his target or be fired like his predecessors. So that job has been firing a lot of people. So he has 6 months to hit the target. For 5.5 months, he made 0 sales. He refused kickbacks, faced tough questioning, and endured a lot of discouragement. On weekends, he led a thriving church. On weekdays, he fought to stay afloat at work. Then in the final week of the 6 month, against all odds, he closed a clean deal over $1 million with a major telco. From that day, God's favor poured in. He consistently surpassed his targets, eventually rose to be national sales manager and built a clean team. So he built, as he grew, he can build a team. He built a team called as the clean team. No bribes, no sleaze, no compromise. That team was responsible for 60 to 70% of the company sales. His integrity earned deep respect. Colleagues came to faith. Some joined his church. Even his one skeptical director said, wow, your God must be really blessing you. He was invited to speak at regional management events and always credited God. His excellence gave credibility to his witness. The man in the story was none other than our late Pastor Tim. He's a man whose influence at work pointed people to God. He was like a city on a hill. How about us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave us a job. We say that, Lord, it is not a career that we want to climb, but we recognize it's a calling. You call us to the workplace. And Lord, we say that we want to honor you at our workplace. We want to worship you at our workplace. That we know that you move not only in the confined space of the church, but you move too in our workplace. So Lord, we want to see in the coming days your major move, your significant move at our workplace. that truly, Lord, that you will grow our influence through our character, our competence, and even our connection. That, Lord, that as our influence grow, Lord, that we will say, that is God behind us. So, Lord, we give you thanks. With you, all glory and praise. And all God's people say, amen.